This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Not enough Bruce on his birthday today, Ken Leard. I just want to make that clear. Should have been more Bruce this morning.
The groat.
Fair point.
Is that what you said?
The groat?
What'd you say? Oat groats? The gayote. Not to be confused with the gout.
Yeah. Okay. He is the greatest artist of all time, okay. Bruce Springsteen. Not the groat.
Is that Bon Jovi, Ken?
Yeah, of course it is. New Jersey album.
All right.
Now, yeah, Tom Brady... probably a Bon Jovi guy.
Yeah.
Hence why maybe N'Keal Harry couldn't relate to him.
Yeah, N'Keal Harry, there's no way he's a Bon Jovi guy. Hmm? No way.
People really get enough, Ken. That's not the best Bon Jovi
it's
song.
Awful.
I like that Bon Jovi song about you can't go home. You know that song?
That's old Bon Jovi. They're over the hill Bon Jovi.
That's like 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's what
7
I mean.
Years ago.
It's not that's that. What
oh,
I mean.
Like they, oh, you don't
they
like
were,
the...
They were washed up by then.
Oh,
it was sad Bon Jovi.
That was 05.
Bon Jovi is not washed up.
Oh, he likes 80s Bon Jovi, it sounds like.
Yeah, 80s Jovi.
I mean, can you put the time limit of when you start with the Just for Men? Are you washed up at that point? When you get in the temples, you coloring in the temple grays. That's really the indicator.
When you rent a boat with a hot tub on it.
when you
fly to Nantucket for a salad.
You're assuming that I paid for the boat. I mean,
nope. Nor the flight.
You're right. I was like, I couldn't believe you were in that small airplane.
Oh, well, F that, dude.
My buddy, honestly, Danielle, you try to paint me out to be some kind of like
you're the one
individual.
I'm not posting on your Instagram.
If somebody says who is a pilot,
yeah.
I am going to go flying today because it's a beautiful day. Would you like to join me?
In that plane.
Wow, you don't like small planes?
That thing's like a tin can.
No.
They're like on top of each other.
Did he start the propeller off like damn the Wheel of Fortune? Like you spin that thing?
No, that's Price is Right.
I thought it was weird on the side of it. It was named the JFK Jr. That was kind of an odd.
But that was, I mean, it looked nice, so.
Too soon on
what
that.
What was that, Curtis?
Too soon. It was 25 years ago.
Inappropriate.
He should have been flying. He's the
we're living vicariously through you because I would never get on the plane, and it did look like
you
was
wouldn't.
I would never get on anything like that. You know,
what's the useful load on that thing?
Why would you not?
No,
why would you not get on that plane?
Hey, it's too small for me. It's a puddle jumper.
So not with a buddy too.
Yeah, I just no.
Are you only fly on jets?
That's it. G5s preferably.
Do you ever have that?
Retrix.
I will say this. Do you ever have that weird thing that happens? I think it's like a known psychological phenomenon.
No, you're rich.
Where you're standing on the top of a building,
uh-huh.
And you're thinking about what if I jump off,
yeah.
Or
you feel like you're going to involuntarily jump.
You feel like you're going to do it.
Yep.
And it goes through your mind. Creepy. The same thing happened when I was sitting in that plane, thinking, am I going to open this door up?
Stop. You were on your phone the whole time. You didn't even look out the window.
Right. Yeah, and like fall out.
Nope.
What is that? It's a weird... There's a name for that, right?
Yeah, there is. Let me look it up.
There's like a... Have you ever experienced
like, so
that?
So you're standing on a high building, you feel like you're going to fall off the building?
You're going to jump.
Oh, like you're going to jump.
Yeah.
Why you want to jump? See if you can
you
fly?
You don't want to, but it's like a weird thing that goes through your mind. Never happens to
no,
you?
No. Like, I never got on a building and go, all right, maybe I should jump here.
Wiggy's at the top of the Prue taking photos.
Right, like, yeah. But no, but
you've
what's
never
going
done a weekend show with
Fitzy. What's going through my mind?
Come on.
Is
Ken,
I want to jump.
Ken.
I could see maybe you're on the plane and you feel like, all right, the door's going to open up because it's right next to you, but not, you know.
No, not that it's going to open. You have an irrational fear that you're going to open it yourself and be sucked out into the ether.
You need to go see somebody for that one. If you feel like you're going to open the door yourself.
There's a French term for it, but it translates as call of the void.
Yes.
It's like a big phenomenon.
Really?
Yeah.
Look it up.
Maybe they'll do a documentary on it.
Call of the void.
Yes, not to be confused with Call of Duty.
And is there a description of it? Psychologically?
It just says like, hold on a second.
5 days a week of Wiggy.
Some people feel it. Some people don't. Most people ignore it. It just gives you this weird sense. Okay, hold on. One psychologist who's an associate professor at Miami University in Ohio said an urge to jump affirms the urge to live, an empirical examination of the high place phenomenon.
Yeah.
Only 50% of experience aspects of the call of the void. It's a miscommunication with your brain.
Right. So I'm more advanced psychologically than others, is what you're saying.
Yeah. So they're terming it like an alarm signal. Like your brain knows that you being at the edge of a building or in a high place or someplace potentially dangerous sounds an alarm that like, hey, you need to be careful in whatever situation this is.
Yeah.
It's so creepy.
People are texting in and they have experienced it.
Hmm.
So I'm sitting there in the co-pilot seat. Curtis, what are you laughing at? I'm sitting there in the co-pilot seat.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, oh, what if I just suddenly opened the door and then I was sucked out of this plane? It's a weird thing.
Yeah.
It means you're more intelligent than us.
It's a weird.
I think the lighter people are getting sucked out first. Look, he's tethered to the plane. Is Greg skydiving? Nope, it was a malfunction with the seatbelt. It got caught.
Here's somebody
who
says...
We're stuck at 5,000 feet with Greg on board.
No, it's the call of the void.
Call of the void, man.
That's a good name for a band. Call of the void.
But that's downstairs.
That is what it is.
That's what we call the Belichick interview.
It's the call of the void. I know exactly what Greg is talking about, right. And it feels so messed up.
I don't understand people that can sit on the edge of a building and dangle their legs off.
I don't
understand that.
The only way I can get on the edge of a building is if I lay down. And I lay
even,
down.
Yeah, and you like what? Shimmy up to the edge and like peek
that's,
over.
That's the only way. I got to be
even
laying
then
down.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah, right. But that's the only way I feel comfortable is if I'm laying
I'm like,
down.
What if my legs involuntarily kick out to the side and I roll off?
Here's a texter who wants to play Call of the Booty with Danielle.
That's
a different game.
Right. Whole different game. A lot more risks.
That's starring Marcus and Jamal.
That's also on pay-per-view, like They're Call
relatable.
Of the Fist.
Here's a text from Rhode Island that says this person is driving and they think about what if I swerve into this pole or into this car. So that's probably the same kind of thing, the call of the void.
Right.
Do you ever, in your radio history, because I guess this is kind of relatable to what we're talking about because it's involuntary. Have you ever felt when you were reading something or doing a live read that you were going to say an inappropriate word because it was like in your head?
Like, what's the word?
I'd say a profanity or maybe like some kind of inappropriate saying that you would never normally say, but you psych yourself
really,
out.
But now I'm going to.
You can't do anything with Greg.
Now it's in your head.
His whole life is based around the call of the void. You bring up, you talk about, damn, we were talking about chickens the other day. Next thing you know, he's got to have chicken.
Right.
He
thought it was Call of the Noid, and then he needed Little Caesar's pizza.
They sit in coach on an airplane.
What's that like, Greg?
And they think about what if they just open the emergency exit door, when they're sitting in the emergency exit aisle.
Thankfully, that takes a little bit of effort.
Yeah, see, I'd be concerned about a lot of these people.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, it's a good question, Greg. I'm being serious. Would you rather be burdened and brilliant or happy and dumb?
I would rather...
Well, that could apply to a few people in the studio. Let's see.
Here's a text that says that was wildly inappropriate when And Danielle said, thin people get sucked out first. That's not nice.
That was an all-timer.
Why?
That is true, though. The lighter you are.
You're a little more solid in your seat, right?
The lighter you are.
You ever had a piece of paper fly off your desk when you open the window? The rock doesn't go anywhere.
Right. But I mean, that is true.
The paperweight.
When you're sitting in the co-pilot seat, the controls are right in front of you.
And, are you going to pull up?
I'm thinking to myself, like, oh, what if I just, like, suddenly, like, seize the controls of this thing and start this
and nosedive?
Question, what is the opposite of Sully? Answer, Greg.
Greg. Here's another question. When you're riding shotgun in the puddle jumper, does, I won't reveal the pilot's name, but does said individual who flies that plane prepare a charcuterie board a la monkey when you have long road trips to places?
No, there was no food. Okay. There was no food on the plane.
Do they let you drive or fly?
He would.
Like grab the stick.
My friend E-Money is the pilot.
Okay.
So E-Money would let me fly if I wanted to. I don't particularly want to fly.
I would think that would be one of the voids that you would want. Not that you have the skill set, but just to be like, hey, let me just grab the controller and, you know.
He puts it on autopilot.
Just play with
like,
it a little bit.
I'll say this before Danielle will. I'm more comfortable being driven than being the driver.
That's right? Correct. That's just, yeah.
Is E-Money the guy that came in and had that massive like chain around his neck?
Yes, he did.
Good dude. Very, very charitable dude. Very nice guy.
Here's a pilot texting in. I would not be sucked out of the airplane because the aircraft is not pressurized. So that's good to know. So what would happen?
That's going to allay his fears.
I would have to jump out. Something like that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine him losing a shoe? He's like, hold on, I'm going to dangle. Look, I'm dangling my foot out. I'm going to put it on Instagram.
Can you open the door and, like, you know how, like, sometimes if you're driving, you could just open the door and, like, look out? Like, in that situation, cause do the windows roll down?
I've never been on a
puddle jumper.
Ooh.
Don't roll down?
I don't know if this is right or not, but Rhode Island texter says that there's a scene in Annie Hall where Christopher Walken is explaining to Woody Allen the call of the void.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We're going to get that.
That's deep.
Yeah.
On your buddy's puddle jumper, do the windows roll down?
No.
No. Okay. No. The windows don't generally roll down in planes.
No, but it's like a plane people skydive out of, right? You can, wondering, like, if you're up there, you're not that far up, can you do, because he said it's not pressurized. I've never been in a puddle jumper, so I'm guessing you don't go too high up, right?
I don't know. What do you define too high up?
Over 10,000 feet? Yeah, are you in flying range? Like a 747's going to pass you, or is it lower?
Like an airplane, so where you can't, like, open the door, open the little sliding windows because of the pressure.
We flew from Beverly Airport. You can see, you fly over the Kennedy compound. You can see stuff. So, I don't know. You're probably 5,000 feet or something.
It's about 6,000 feet, according to the interwebs.
So, you could technically roll the windows down if they went down.
Now I'm worried about you, Greg. I mean, I thought you were stable. You were like a rare stable radio guy. That is out.
No. It's not. It actually indicates high intelligence. I just looked it up.
Okay.
That's what it indicates. It indicates that you have an honest understanding of
life.
Of the value of life, of where you are, of your surroundings, all of those things.
He's highly intelligent, Ken, which you just looked up on his Apple iPhone, on which he cannot figure out how to get Apple TV still. But he's highly intelligent.
Well, the reason I'm upset about Apple TV never being able to figure it out was because I wanted to watch The Morning Show, which I believe won several Emmys the other night.
Mm-hmm. Was that Jennifer Aniston, right?
Yeah, and Steve Carell, too, right? Or no? Is he in something different? Is he not on the morning show?
Steve Carell is the star of the morning show.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. And it's really good, right?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I think they're doing another season.
I can't watch him in anything because he's too typecast as Michael Scott for me. Like, I tried to watch that abomination of a NASA show. What was that called?
I don't even remember.
Yeah, he is Michael Scott. He's either Michael Scott or the guy from 40-Year-Old Virgin.
I have a good recommendation, though, of Steve Carell, where he's excellent, is Beautiful Boy. It's a heavy movie. It's about his son who has addiction issues and how he connects to him. It's actually...
I heard it was very good.
Very well
it
done.
Is?
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
So he can do a serious drama role?
He was... excellent. He perfectly depicted the parents' role and their feelings when their child is addicted. It was very well done.
I'll tell you what I resisted watching, but because of the Emmys, I started watching was...
S Creek? Yeah, finally, you jumped on board?
Oh, my wife
Shu and I told you for years to watch that.
I can't say the name of that?
No.
Oh.
Ken would dump you.
S Creek.
S Creek.
That show is so well written. It's a really good show. It really is. Yeah. Ew, David.
The mom from Home Alone is in that, right?
Yes, Catherine O'Hara. Yeah. She's tremendous as Moira Rose.
It's a really, really good show.
Alexis. I hate watching that show, though, because every time she says the daughter's name, my A-L-E-X-A goes off. I'm sorry. I couldn't find that.
Here's a text, 617 text. I used to be a beat cop and saved a girl from jumping from a bridge. And for a brief second, I thought, what if I just take both of us over?
Wow. Yeah, that's those thoughts creep into your head.
Right. I'm with you, Ken. I'm concerned.
Call of the Void.
Yeah, I'm concerned that people have Call of the Void. Because basically you want to do things that either jeopardize other people, put yourself in harm's way, that don't make sense. You want to open
up. But you don't do it. That's the thing.
I know, but if you're thinking about it. So is Call of the Void going, you know what?
It's not Call of the Void.
I feel like robbing a bank today.
Call in the Void. Call in the Void.
Is that part of it? If I say I feel like robbing a bank?
No, I don't think it's the same thing at all.
I'm not going to do it, but I like to do it.
There's some breaking news.
There is, yes. Okay. Governor Baker this morning announced that starting Monday, this is according to NBC 10 Boston's Alert, restaurants in Massachusetts will now, I'm shocked this is happening, be allowed to seat up to 10 people at tables and use bar seating for food service.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
So you can sit at the bar and eat.
Yep.
Yes.
Thank God. Sweet baby Jesus.
I mean, he's only a month behind New Hampshire. Right. So.
Sorry.
We're making progress.
We flattened the curve.
Howl at the Moon will remain closed in perpetuity,
yeah.
though.
Yeah, no. We're never opening that. That place is never going to be able to open up again. That's
thoughts
okay.
And prayers.
I care about the people who work there. It doesn't matter to me. But 10 people at a table is a good thing.
That's right? Great.
That's a good thing.
Not a new thing for you, but it's a good thing.
Right, he so orders that, for 10.
Right. And well, at least you could sit at the bar and eat, so now you don't you don't look like a loser sitting at a table by yourself.
We don't care.
When you go out by yourself. I'm just saying, you could sit at the bar now.
So that begins on Monday?
That begins on Monday.
All right, good news.
Incredible.
Right now, Cannon, what is trending?
Teddy Bruschi joins OMF this afternoon at 4:30. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Subaru of New England Final Chance Clearance going on now. For complete details and to find your authorized Subaru retailer, visit SubaruofNewEngland.com. A couple of trending items in the sports world. Gale Sayers passing away, the NFL Hall of Famer at the age of 77. He had been battling dementia for many years, but of course the inspiration for the movie Brian song with his friendship.
Arguably and we had this argument on the old show, so we had it several times. We don't need to have it on the new show, but arguably the single greatest football-themed film of all time is Brian's song.
But I never want to watch it again. It's so sad.
It is. It's a tearjerker, but it's a great film. I hope they never remake that film. I will be so angry if they remake that film because it is a classic. Remember the Titans, number two, by the way, Wiggy, on my list.
Everybody says what a great player he would have been if he had stayed healthy, knee injury early in his career. And like his rookie year, he had 22 touchdowns or something ridiculous, was rookie of the year and never quite fulfilled that promise in the NFL due to injuries. The other trending news is Bill Belichick's look at the press conference this morning. Have you seen the sweatshirt, the holes in the sweatshirt?
God. Yeah, he looked like he was
meth.
But now looked like he had a long night last night.
It is. You got to respect this. I don't care what you think of Belichick. I mean, Curtis, just the guts to show up at a press event like that.
He dressed up as Mutt for Halloween.
Ah.
Sounds to me like Linda needs to get some mothballs. I mean, can you
still use those?
Do people still use mothballs?
Yeah, they're in the laundry aisle at CBS.
Okay.
Patriots begin on-field prep for your Las Vegas Raiders coming up later today. The Celtics and Heat game for tonight, 8:30 tip time. Celtics a 3-point favorite. What's the storyline you anticipate coming out of this game? You guys sense a win, and who's the star? Is it a Jaylen Brown night again, or the Heat
That's
rebound?
The only problem with the Celtics. You don't know who's going to be their best player on any given night.
I thought we got some good insight from Scal, though, when it came to the assists in the first and
second they're moving
quarter.
The ball or if they're just, you know, looking to get their own shots.
Yeah, and I think what he was saying was not that guys are being selfish, but that at a certain point, Tatum or, you know, you name the young guy, are feeling like I got to put this on me all myself as opposed to trusting the system, essentially.
Yeah, I think it's they don't know whose team it is. And everybody, like basketball players, these guys have been their whole life. They've been the best player. Now it's like There's no LeBron. There's no Anthony Davis. It's four guys, possibly five with Gordon Hayward. But I think Gordon Hayward kind of steps in the role of, I'll take a backseat. But it's four guys who go, maybe I need to be the guy tonight.
But I bet you we see a heavy dose of the big five with Hayward in there. Kemba, Jalen, Jason, and
but it's how are they moving the ball with the big five? Are they, is it one pass and then Marcus Smart heaves up a shot? Is like Scal said, Jason Tatum tries to go to my boy Bam Adebayo and knows that this is not a good play.
Sox won at 8-3 last night at Fenway. Two games left there, Hillman, and the season is over. We move on the road. Five total left. Wiggy's talking about your, I can't hear a thing. who died?
I said Road Warrior Animal. I don't know if you're a big fan of wrestling, the Road Warriors.
Oh.
Greg's a huge wrestling fan.
Can you save that? That was going to be Dale's lead at the start of the show.
His son played in the NFL. I don't know how to say his last name. The guy's name was Joe Laurinaitis. Is that how you say his last name?
I have no idea.
The single dumbest thing in the world is that there is a World Wrestling Federation Hall of Fame. They're acting, and then like the one that gets written the most wins goes to the Hall of Fame.
Well, no, they just go in based off. I used to be a wrestler. I mean, we're all wrestling fans.
Staying Elaine Curtis.
We're all wrestling fans.
Still real to me, damn it.
Red Sox tonight at 7:30 on the Shaws and Star Market. WEI Red Sox Radio Network. Nathan Eovaldi on the mound. It's the Greg Hill Morning Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
To the Greg Hill Show on WEEI. Can't see nothing in front of me.
Can't see nothing coming up behind. Additionally, we are updating our restaurant guidance to make absolutely clear that alcoholic beverages may only be served for on-site consumption if accompanied by food prepared on-site. Bars are closed in Massachusetts. And bars masquerading as restaurants also need to be closed. On the shoulder half mile line, come on up for the
horizon. Come on up with your head tonight. Wiggy, it sounds like when it comes to dining out, we're on the rise. We're coming up for the rising.
Oh, man,
because,
I need it.
New guidance. Governor Baker today. Adjusting the amount of individuals who can be seated at a table from 6 to 10.
Correct.
So, and you can now sit at a bar. So now...
socially distanced.
You know what's going to happen now? Mm-hmm. We're going to have restaurants that are masquerading as bars.
Correct.
So that they can get people to sit at their
right.
bar.
Right.
At their bar top.
Yes.
So, good news. Now, interesting question from several texters. Mm-hmm. When it comes to these guidance adjustments... why do they always have to start on a Monday?
See, in this case, it makes no sense. I understand in the past, you know, when it came to outdoor patios, restaurants had to source, you know, tables, equipment, whatever else, and get things set up. But in this case, there's no change. You're using the existing space within the restaurant. Why not say, immediately, you can do this? I don't understand.
Or Sunday. That's the first day of the week on every calendar you get.
Yeah, but I mean, why not just start, like, people sitting at a bar, it doesn't require anything different. It just requires that you have bar seats.
That's all.
I mean, stools.
So how about starting Friday so they can enjoy the weekend crowd?
Well, Danielle, even better. Danielle, what about Sunday where you're going to have a mass of people that want to get together and watch the Pats and then Brady?
Why. This is it.
That's why.
Enjoy the rest of your Monday.
It's the same reason why you can't order a drink without an entree accompanying it.
But you know there's going to be a problem with this because it's difficult to sit people at a bar and socially distance and still be able to have that bar you know, unless it's a giant.
Be worth it.
Yeah, unless it's a giant bar, most people are going to get close to each other if they sit at the bar because, you know, there are a few people that go by themselves, but most of the times it's two.
Can two people sit at a bar next to each other, or do they have to be 6 feet apart at the bar?
No, I believe a party could sit together. I'm waiting for the actual text of the legislation to come out on mass.gov.
It's not legislation. Please stop
saying
mandate, that.
Whatever. The
but
regulations.
That's what's be,
the guidelines.
That's
the guidelines.
What the guidelines is going to be.
It has nothing to do with any kind of a law that has been voted on or passed.
The new normal.
But even nothing. In this case, like I think of some of the restaurants that I frequent all the time, like G-Bar in Swampscott, one of my top restaurant. I love it. It's a. I mean, I think 1, 2, 4, 6. There's maybe like 10 or 11. Yes, hello, Greg Brackman. There's maybe 10 or 11 seats at that bar.
Right.
So with the social distancing, I'm thinking maybe they could put, if they put two at the end, maybe one in the middle, you could get away with three parties of two.
Yeah.
It's still not going to be, it's not the solution.
No.
It's not the solution.
No, I mean, they haven't changed anything that is going to help the restaurants make more money. They've changed, it's going to be more, it's going to be more convenient for people. I mean, it's, you know, and you can also, I mean, you know, you can get a table for six, and if you happen to, you know, have other people who want to join or something, that can now happen,
right.
You know. So it's a positive step forward.
Yeah.
I just don't know why you have to wait till Monday.
Yeah, I don't get that one.
That's a weird thing. This is Austin. Austin, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys? First time caller here.
Thank you.
Just want to call. I was pretty intrigued about the Call of the Void that you guys were talking about.
Yes.
And I'm an active skydiver and former base jumper, and it's just something I can definitely relate to what you guys were talking about. You know, my last base jump I did was 450 feet on an antenna, and I just remember, I mean, all the thoughts you have going through your head is, you know, your body and brain and everything's telling you not to jump, and you know you could die, and, you know, and then you jump, and... Well, you know, you have a nice good opening and you land, and it, you know, it's quite the feeling of just what your body and what you can do with your mind to overcome that.
Yeah. I think in the case of the Call of the Void, it's about you could do it, but you don't do it. So you're
right.
Really.
You're opposite really, from this guy.
And really, I base jumped 489 feet last week.
You're up there 400 feet telling yourself to jump, where right. He's telling himself don't jump.
Right.
Can I confess something? I tell you this because, as an artist, I think you'll understand. Sometimes when I'm driving on the road at night, I see two headlights coming toward me. Fast, I have this sudden impulse to turn the wheel quickly, head on into the oncoming car. I can anticipate the explosion, the sound of shattering glass, the flames rising out of the flowing gasoline.
Right. Well, I have to go now, Dwayne, because I'm due back on the planet Earth.
Yes.
Walking.
Chris, great actor.
He's amazing.
Great actor.
Great actor. Loved him in Deep Cover.
He had a great actor.
He was great in Wedding Crashers.
He actually was really good
he
at that.
He played a great character.
This is Glenn. Hello, Glenn.
Yeah, hey, what's going on? I don't have anything comment to say about Danielle this morning. I'm sorry.
Shocking, Glenn.
No, I love you. You know that.
I know.
God bless animals. Don't let him fool you. You still have to social distance to 6 feet. So if you have a bar and you come in with your wife to watch the game or do whatever you want to do, obviously you can't do it this weekend, so I'm going to lose business again. You still have to be 6 feet. So if you have a small bar, you're only going to be able to see three or four people.
Right.
If you come up, like New Hampshire's been doing this, and that governor tried to fool everybody when they said, hey, we're back to full capacity. Yeah, you're back to full capacity, but you still have to social distance.
Yeah.
So if you have a small bar, it really doesn't do you that many good. I mean, it is a step in the right direction, thank goodness, but who knows? So don't let him fool you that he's doing something real big for us.
Where's your bar, Glenn?
North Shore. I'd rather not say.
Okay.
Oh, you don't want me to come visit, big guy?
I'm not in the free thing, but I have five places, and because of this freaking governor, because of this coronavirus, I only have two of my places open.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for a part-time job, so maybe I could just get Chick-fil-A for Wiggy or something, bring it to him. I don't know. I'll do
Popeyes.
Popeyes, yes.
Wiggy's not a Chick-fil-A guy.
I don't mind it, but I'm a Popeyes guy.
Yeah.
Has anyone tried the spicy McNuggets yet from McDonald's? I'm curious to know how those are.
I did.
All day, every day, chicken nugget.
I did have those the other day. Not bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a huge chicken nugget guy from McDonald's.
Mm.
Anyways.
What? Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not. Like, I'm a Big Mac guy.
Okay.
Go to McDonald's, I want a Big Mac.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I am. Not really a nugget guy. If you want chicken nuggets, I can find someplace else to go to get chicken nuggets.
Okay.
You got a chicken nugget guy?
Here's, he likes chicken.
I do like chicken.
I like chicken. It's fried chicken.
It's chicken. It's fried chicken. It's fried chicken.
It's fried chicken.
I like fried chicken.
I like fried chicken.
Plus, I prefer a tender than a nugget.
Okay.
Hello, you know? John.
You mean a boneless wing?
Hey. Yeah, Greg.
What's up, John?
I hate to tell you, but Brian's song was remade in 2001. It was pretty bad. Mekhi Phifer was in it. And
God.
Hate to be the one to break it to you, but somebody had to tell you. But
are you serious?
Yep, they did it. It
they
happened.
They did?
Yep.
I'm serious, yeah.
That's a travesty.
Mekhi Phifer, who else was in that Brian song?
They remade Brian's song?
Mm-hmm.
I did not even know that.
Ugh.
Fitzy remade it as Sox Appeal, too. He tried that version.
Come on.
Come
That's
on.
Twice today, Ken. Leave the guy alone.
I think it was one of those like remakes where it like went straight.
It sucked?
Well, no, it went like straight to
video?
DVD or mm-hmm. something. You know, now they have, movies that are made just for Netflix. But
wasn't Brian's song originally a TV movie anyway?
Yeah, it was Pocket Money.
I don't know that it was. I thought it was a feature film. I mean, I was not alive during that time, I don't believe. Or maybe I was a baby. I don't know when it was made. It was probably made
1971.
Because it was...
I was 5 years old in 1971.
Because wasn't it Robert Redford, right?
No. Brian Piccolo was played by the guy who was in The Godfather.
Pauly Shore.
James Caan.
No, James Caan. Yeah.
Billy Dee Williams.
And Billy Dee Williams. Yeah. So, I mean, it was a great film. Just an unbelievable film.
Oh,
I mean,
Shelley Fabre, kid.
I mean, sort of a similar theme. Not really similar, but, you always have the tragedy,
yep.
And Remember the Titans, you have mm-hmm. the tragedy of the car accident.
Right.
I don't want to issue a spoiler alert on Remember the
Titans.
On
a movie that came out 20 years ago.
Right, yeah. They've had time. You're fine.
Yes. You never know.
Sandra Bullock died in Gravity.
So did George Clooney.
I mean, it was no Manchester by the Sea where everybody dies in the fire.
Oh, no.
What a terrible movie. Awful.
And that was the logical closure point for that movie. It went on for another hour and 10 minutes.
By the way, quick sports update. Scott Foster is on the call for game 4 tonight of Celtics Heat. So Tim Donaghy's best bud is on the floor calling Celtics Heat game 4.
Oh, look at that. Is that about 7 games?
Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of Nick is in today, so maybe we'll get him for the crossover. You want to do that? All right, so we'll get Nick Fitzy Stevens for the crossover coming up next.
We're back with the Greg Hill Show on Boston Sports Station. WEEI.
Obscure reference, final song played on the old show at WAAF, the goodbye song. And it's Bruce's birthday. We'll talk to a huge Springsteen fan, Nick Stevens, in just a moment. The crossover is brought to you by National Lumber. Visit them at national-lumber.com. Hello,
Greg,
Nick.
Greg, how's your throat doing after all those hours you were on the final night of WAF? Have you gotten your vocal cords back?
Hey, Curtis, I'll have you know you're speaking to the biggest Springsteen fan going out there. That's a goddamn American hero right there.
Is that Clint Eastwood?
He's not.
Clint Springsteen, otherwise known as Bruce Eastwood over there.
All right. That's a good. You should work on developing that character. Clintstein. That would be a good.
Clintstein.
I think that's rife for mispronunciation.
Get off my horizon. Come on up for the hairy.
He does sing.
Nobody
like that,
puts ketchup on a.
Listen, the guy, even Ken admits it. The guy is the greatest artist of all time.
He is an American. How is he the greatest artist when he doesn't have the greatest voice?
That's enough out of you.
That's a great question.
That'll do.
How is Bob?
It doesn't
Dylan?
Matter.
How
yeah,
is Bob
Dylan head?
How is Bob Dylan? How is Bob Dylan arguably the greatest artist when he doesn't have a great voice? Not about the voice.
Yeah, so what are you basing the greatest artist on?
Everything. The length of his shows, the effort that he puts forth.
Relatability to receivers.
The commercial success, the longevity.
Okay. Catch radius.
The longevity.
I will say the concerts, like Dylan in concerts, terrible, terrible. But his albums are unbelievable.
Oh, you don't say?
Well, I don't see.
Springsteen in concert.
I think those guys might obviously be able to hold the mantle because, unfortunately, Michael Jackson passed away. I think he might have been the greatest artist of all time.
Well, of course you're going to say that.
Why?
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Yeah. Because you're a fan of a different genre of music than I am.
Again.
When you say
is there any irony in Wiggy loving a guy who sings, it doesn't matter if you're black or white?
Right, but when you say,
would you take a minute to look at the man in the mirror?
When you say the greatest artist, it's across all genres of music.
I believe he's heading into his, am I correct about this, Bruce? He's celebrating his 71st birthday today and heading into his fifth decade of being relevant. Correct?
Because I got a bad desire.
70s, 70s, 80s, 90s, aughts.
Yep.
And then whatever this.
But still, Greg, you know what's great about that, too, is that all of those generations, there is obviously a lot of similarity to Springsteen throughout. I mean, he's an American rock working class poet laureate who grits his way through his songs. But there are different, like Born to Run Springsteen is different than 80s pop Springsteen with more sax and Clarence Clemons.
Yes.
And then in the 90s, as he heads into, like, he sort of like kind of dips away for a while, tries some random stuff. Then The Rising really brings him back to like the forefront of American poetry and storytelling. Then he does the Seeger Sessions in the 2010s, which is throwback music. Like he has now, of course, he's done the Broadway show and he's a little more introspective. Like,
he just put out a new song, which is called Letter to You, which is, I mean, it's bone chilling.
Michael Jackson was doing a new tour before he passed away.
And how many different greatest end credits movie songs does the guy have to write before we say he might be the greatest movie theme writer of all
time?
He's
got a lot. Philadelphia.
The Wrestler.
The Wrestler.
And what's the
Dumb and
Penn,
Dumber.
Sean Penn. Yes. No, actually, it was Kingpin. The Susan Sarandon Sean Penn
Uncut
movie.
Gems.
Dead Man Walking.
Mystic River.
Dead Man Walking.
Great song.
Dead Man Walking.
Caddyshack 2.
Dead Man Walking. Maybe speaking of which, in the 10 o'clock Springsteen. Hour, we're going to talk about why former Patriots coaches just can't win outside Foxborough.
Oh.
Hi, Matt Patricia. You've entered the chat.
Have you read the Laird column today?
I have not had a chance to.
Okay.
Oh.
As I
spelled I didn't watch it wrong.
Spectacular.
It's hot, Bradford says it's hot.
It is hot. Ken, the gold standard was set last week. Bradford told me I might have the most read column of the year.
Ooh, wow.
Really?
Last week. Jeez.
Were they stuck in a loop?
Actually, 73 hits is the 8-track that's in Greg's Cadillac.
That's because Danielle, they put out two columns.
Ken, what was
that? By the way, that's 146 eyeballs, Curtis. 72 hits or 73 hits. Oh, but yes.
Ken, what was the POV in this week's column?
Bradford just said it's taken underneath. Off. He didn't.
No. What's the point of
rocket
you? You not know what point?
Rocket ship.
Do you not watch porn? You don't know what? You know what POV is?
Point of view.
Oh, I thought you wanted a number. Yes.
No, he wants the point of view. What's the point of view of the column?
Well, it's
Greg, facial shots.
I didn't ask.
Face. Jeez, Wiggs.
Go ahead.
Oh. It's a Brady hit piece, basically.
It's about the fact that the difference in the way in which Tom Brady last season and Cam Newton this season. Mm-hmm. have approached their receivers, and that you're seeing a different kind of a vibe from Cam Newton.
You are not only seeing a different vibe last year. Fourier said it. I said it a little before Christian, but Fourier went national with it. I'm glad other people are now coming aboard the campaign because this team is better fit, it's better suited, and they're performing better because of the fact that he didn't bring any. He has no Foxborough baggage. Yes, he's a little acrimonious towards Carolina. He's disappointed, but we're seeing a different Cam this year, and we're seeing a different energy down there. You could tell right from snap one, Wiggs, the way that the defense moved, the way that the offense was moved. They're in motion. There's urgency. They had no business getting back in that game on Sunday night, but the man willed him to. Now, granted, he almost broke Edelman in half thrice, but at the same time, if Edelman literally died on the field trying to stage a comeback for the Patriots, he'd probably say, as Springsteen said, I led a good life.
See, that part I can't agree with. So because when you said the team has better energy in the team, then basically everybody who was on that team last year on the defensive side of the football and just the whole team in general go, oh, because Brady's here, our energy is down. I would say I do agree that the relationship between Cam Newton and N'Keal Harry is better because there's more there's more of a connection there because
there's
more
a fraternity between
they're more,
them.
They're more relatable to one another. where the Brady relatability was way, it was hard for N'Keal Harry to relate to Tom Brady and vice versa.
And it was also because Brady said time and again, I don't want to have to like be a teacher, a mentor.
And
I don't want to have to raise
that.
These kids. Whereas Cam has invited him in and he's acting like a big brother. He Cam Newton realizes that in order to put respect back on that name, to get right. that big contract and get to the playoffs or the Super Bowl, which I think he ultimately could, mm-hmm. maybe not this year, Wiggs, but soon in Foxborough, if he sticks around, he's going to need a new Funchess. That is N'Keal Harry. He's going to need a new Ted Ginn. Maybe he has that in Damier Bird, and maybe they'll go out
but
and get him.
It's different
get him somebody
because
else.
You know why it's different, and I said it? It's because it's not Cam's house. He is a visitor in the house of Belichick, where last year it was Brady's house and Bill's house. I helped decorate these rooms. This is how things are going to be done. Now you go and fast forward this year. Cam's like, you know, he's the stepmother who's coming to the family, who's just trying to be friends with everybody, versus last year the moms was there saying, no, you need to do this, that, and the other. That's why it's different.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. And you know what
all
else
I do is
make
great points.
You do.
Man.
That was the best
that.
One I've heard
it's
all
debatable.
Morning. And I'll tell you what else was eerie, Greg. Yesterday at the stadium, walking through the bowels to get to wherever the heck I was, seeing every Brady like poster, all the wallpaper, mm-hmm. the like his face was lacquered everywhere. Giant, like life-sized, 50-foot things. All gone.
It's all gone?
That's
gone.
Wild.
It's gone. All gone.
He's been erased.
Yeah, well,
he's
been canceled.
He plays
yes.
for a different team.
He's been erased.
That's right. Just
yeah.
one snap.
That's
there
it.
You go.
All right. What are you guys
good.
Doing on the show today?
Like I said, we're going to revisit the topic of how come the receivers are performing better with Cam. We will talk about the Belichick coaching tree and how it was poisoned like one of the great elms outside of Auburn years ago.
Oh, no.
Tommy Curran joins us at 1 o'clock and a new favorite segment, Boom Roasted, at 1:30.
Boom Roasted?
Oh, boom Roasted. Boom Roasted. Oh.
All right. I'm going like to have to listen to find out what
thing.
That is. All right.
It's a coffee-flavored IPA, yes. It's Boom Roasted.
We will be back tomorrow morning. Happy birthday to an American treasure, Bruce Springsteen. Thank you for listening this morning. And Dale and Keith is next. Have a great show, and we'll be listening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.